All right, Joel, so good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on page Kuf Mem Gimel, Sif Zayin. So remember, again, the Shara Tshuva was saying, talking about the idea of the Ola, that the Ola is Mechaper, namely, that even though, for example, the mitzvah saseh, in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's model, so the mitzvah saseh, one is mechaper, one atones for it, simply by going ahead. Not simply, but just through the process of tshuva. Yet, again, the Gemara discusses the idea that an ola is mechaper for someone who has violated a mitzvah saseh. So you see from here that even in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's model, even though we explain that there's a process for atonement, even after that process plays out, there's still some residual effect of chait. And so the additional steps we take are able to somehow address that residual chait that remains. Va'od amru, ola mechaperes al ha'ola al ruach b'nei adam, meher hure ha'lev u'machsheves ha'averos. Furthermore, again, he quotes the Yerushalmi that the ola is mechaper for negative thoughts. So listen, this is an interesting idea as well. We have a general approach that Machshava eino kemaisa. Literally, again, thought to commit an avera is not the equivalent of the commission of the avera itself. There's one exception to that rule. The Gemara says is avod zara, idolatry. When it comes to idolatry, if one has thoughts of committing idolatry, that is tantamount to the commission of idolatry itself. But aside from that, everything else, negative thoughts do not equal negative deeds. So first of all, we read that Gemara, and our first reaction is, thank God, right? Because can you imagine, again, if negative thoughts were the equivalent of the commission of negative deeds, I think many of us would be in a significant amount of trouble. So Ibn Shom says, again, the goal obviously is purity of thought and purity of action, but at least at first we aspire ultimately, again, for that purity of action peace, recognizing that purity of thought will come after us. So I would have thought the following. Now that we say that machshava eina kemaisa, that negative thought or impure thought is not like the commission of impure or negative deeds, so in the event that a person has impure thoughts, I should not be held accountable for that, because Moshe doesn't hold me accountable. Yet, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that the carbon ola is mechaper ultimately, again, for negative thoughts. Carbon ola is mechaper for negative thoughts. So what does that show you? But I understand, it's a contradiction. Why do I need kapara for something for which I am not liable? Because we see that even in the absence of liability, every negative thing that we do and every negative event that we undergo, that we experience, leaves its mark on my neshama. So what I'll call, on a technical, legalistic level, am I responsible for negative thoughts? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But lemaisa, do the presence of those thoughts have an impact on me? Of course they do. Of course they do. They absolutely have that impact on who I am, on what I am, on how I view the world, and on how I view myself. And as such, there is some level of atonement that is necessary. I need the ola ultimately, again, to be mechaper. Ala ola al ruach b'nei adam meher hurei halev o mechshavas haaveros. He says, v'chein kosov v'hiki kifu yemei mishta. Vayishlach Iyov v'hishkim abokar v'he'ela olos mispar kulam. Let's say we just had this in the Gemara. We just had this in Bava Basra. Remember, again, the Gemara made reference to this idea that every single day Ula would go ahead and offer up karbanos. He'd offer up an Ola. Why did he offer up an Ola every single day? Ki amar Iyov ulai chatu banai uberchu elokim bilavavam. Because Iyov was always concerned that perhaps maybe my children sinned, and maybe, again, they cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their hearts. Now, what does that mean, they cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their heart? Iyov was concerned that maybe, again, there was some type of negative, internal, cognitive, emotional event going on for his children. And therefore, he offered up the Karban Ola on their behalf. Okay? So again, this obviously is an extreme. This is Iyov offering up a Karban Ola, or Olos, I should say, in the event that someone had some type of impure thought. So it's it's a much more extreme level, but again, for illustration purposes, it's exceptionally helpful. This idea that even those things for which there is not a legal liability, there is still an impact on us. So I will say this is exceptionally important, because very often when trying to frame our Judaic identity, we often ask ourselves a simple question, which is what? Is it mutter or is it aser? Right? If it's aser, if it's prohibited, of course, I'm not going to do it. But if it's mutter, even if there's one opinion that says that it's mutter, right? Or even if I once heard when I was half asleep in yeshiva 27 years ago that somebody, I think I heard someone say mutter. So we often live life like that. And just it's important to understand that even sometimes when you're on the right side of the law, you may be on the wrong side of your neshama. So this is important yisod, that everything we do in life has an impact. And even if it's legal, doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. Now again, of course, obviously all of this ties back to the general concept of Kiddush and Tiyu. This is what it means to be holy, right? And Rashi Chazal, everybody brings down Kadeshus Atzmecha B'Mashem Mutralach. The goal is to try to figure out, not just to draw the line between mutter and aser, but even in the world of mutter, even in those things which are permitted, what things are good for me, what things are not good for me. Every person knows themselves. And what things that if I allow myself to do this, could it lead to something else? That's the Ola approach to life. The Ola approach to life is, it's not about mutter aser. It's about growth. How do I create the proper framework for myself that I know that I'm going to be able to encounter a dynamic and a wave of growth? That's the Ola. So we'll say, so just look at paragraph Ches. We'll just start this and then for a minute and then we'll stop. The Ata. So this is very beautiful. Like this mamish, what does this paragraph do? This paragraph's awakened, a paragraph awakens in our hearts the magnificent desire for the Beis HaMikdash, right? Oh, now you realize what we lack. I wish I had a Karban Ola, because had I had a Karban Ola, I'd have the ability to correct so many of those things that I know inside of me I don't like. They're not osur, it's not terrible, it's not averos. But there's parts of my persona, parts of the things that I do that are just what we'll call a little bit spiritually shady. And the Ola helps me with that. That's wonderful. But I don't have an Ola now. I don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet. So look at the Shari Tshuva writes, V'ata ki'in lanu karbanos ba'avonosinu u'ba'avonos avosinu. Now that we don't yet have karbanos as a result of our individual and collective culpability, imchata ber hurei halev o sha'avra mitzvah saseh yikra parshas ha'ola. So Shari Tshuva says something very beautiful. Shari Tshuva says, you know, Mishnah Berurah brings down this, and I will say it's exceptionally important. It's really very important to recite Karbanos every single day. To be able to recite the parasha of the Kiyor, the parasha of the Tamid, the parasha of Kitores, Ezuhu Mekoman. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because these paragraphs, when you say these Karbanos, it's a key, it's a fulfillment of Unishama Parim Sifaseinu. That sometimes what we can't do with our hands, we have the ability to do with our lips. And the Gemara says, when you read the parashios of Karbanos, it's as if what? You are offering up the karbanos yourself. Again, is it the same as offering up the karbanos? Obviously, nothing is the same as having a Beis HaMikdash. But in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a wonderful, beautiful, magnificent, and holy second option. So first of all, just so you think about it, the ability to start every single day. You know, when you say the parsha of the Kiyar, you're literally washing your hands, even if you're not a Kohen. I always wanted to be a Kohen, but it's not in my cards. I'm not going to be a Kohen. But every single morning when I say that parsha, I get to wash from the Kiyar like Aaron Kohen did. And you say the parsha of Kitores, you know, Chazal say, the Gemara says, that in Azli Boshal, nothing is more special than the Kitores. And not only that, you say the parsha of Tamid, again, Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, Ezum Mekoman is the Mishnayis. Again, go through every single karban, every single morning, before you even start your day, you have the ability to be makriv every single kind of karban. So says the Shari Tshuva, if there's something going on in my life that's not aser, it's not aser, but I'm not comfortable with it. I know deep down this is not what I need in order to grow. It's like the hirhurim raim, it's like the negative thoughts. Not aser, not awesome. It's not Navera, I haven't come in Navera, but I know that it's not good, says the Shari Tshuva. I know this might sound like a simple Eitzah. Read the Parsha of the Ola. Read the parasha of the Ola. It's in the beginning of the Siddur. Read the parasha of the Ola. And in that way, again, a person has the ability, at least with their lips, with their mind, with their heart, with their soul, to offer up the carbon Ola. And in the schus of that carbon, a person will be able to have the strength, to find the strength, to address those dynamics that, although may not be usher, need a bit of tweaking and need a bit of fixing. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up in Sif Chasimir Tashama Monday.